Jesus, we do praise you and thank you. We know that you desperately do want us. And it's our desire that what is stirred, Holy Spirit, what you stir in each one of us, is that we desire that of knowing you more. We desire that more than any of the things of this world, any things that we give our time to, that our first priority, our hunger that cannot be satisfied, our thirst that cannot be quenched, is the knowing of you. So we thank you and praise you for that. We desire to learn to grow. We desire to learn to grow, to know you better through praise. We desire to know all that you have for us through our praise and our worship to you. We thank you and praise you because we know what it does for us. We know how it impacts and changes our lives. We know what it does to the lives around us as well. So we just thank you and praise you. You be glorified. Jesus, in the time that we have here this morning, in the word that is shared, you be glorified. We praise you and thank you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. You know me, I didn't look to see exactly where that was. Can you take this back to Mia? Can you ever find the thing? Okay, one of the great things. Okay, I just did what is like from theater. This is one of the things I learned from theater. My pastor, the stage that he's on is probably like this high. So it's like really high. And it always makes me nervous because when he's preaching, he'll come and he'll actually have half of his feet hanging over the edge. And he's doing this. So I can't even hear what he's talking about most of the time because I'm so worried about him falling off the stage. When I fall off the stage, you say I don't have to fall very far, though. So, excellent word. I just so appreciate the fact that God speaks to us through those words of prophecy. And that's part of the thing that we're trying to learn is praise and worship. And there's a lot of elements to praise and worship, but prophetic is part of that. Now, prophetic can even come, thank you very much, Mia. Prophetic can even come even from the hearts of little ones. Now, Mia was reading, she showed me this book that she just got. It's called If Peas Could Taste Like Candy. That'll preach, right? This is a book that she just got. And she showed me two different things. And this is the one that she showed me right before we started. And she was really happy because it's called Jehoshaphat. And I looked at her and I said, Mia, that is so awesome. Because today I'm talking about Jehoshaphat. You're going to hear Jehoshaphat mentioned five times. So, before we get into the Word of God from Jehoshaphat, let's see what Crystal Bowman says about Jehoshaphat. I may have to borrow your glasses. I think that's it for now. If I need some more beverage, I'll let you know. Jehoshaphat. My parents named me Jehoshaphat. Oh, what on earth can I do? By the time I learn how to spell it, I might be 102. No one ever pronounces it right. They always get it wrong. It really is terribly troublesome to have a name that is so long. My friends can't fit Jehoshaphat on their little valentines. When I write it on my paper, it takes up 20 lines. And when I'm playing baseball, no one ever shouts my name, even if I catch the ball and win the baseball game. It's got Jehoshaphat, it's got baseball, this is like the perfect. A name is such an important thing. I could go on and on. If my parents wanted a Bible name, they could have just named me John. Jehoshaphat. Thank you, Mia. But see, seriously, here again, that's part of what praise and worship. It's the prophetic. And somebody, I was just talking to somebody this week and was just telling them that, in fact, my pastor's daughter and her family were supposed to be here this morning. They couldn't make it, but I wanted them to know because they got two little ones. I just wanted them to know before they got here, just so you know, Holly, we don't have, you know, kids' church. So you just might want to be prepared for that. But I did explain to her, you know, to me, I love the fact that the children are here in the service with us. Because I love the fact that they're getting the Word of God, the same Word of God their parents are getting. See, I want as they grow up, because the Word never returns void. So even little ears, even little tiny ears, even though these little ears can't understand what's being said, it's still the Word of God. And it's getting into that precious little soul. So as they get older, even though they may not understand a lot, one of the most dear and precious things to me is this has happened a number of times where children have given me pictures that they've drawn from what they heard in their minds from the message that was given. So the Holy Spirit does speak to even the children that are here. And there's something about knowing that the children are hearing the same word. So as they grow up and as they're leaving church on Sunday and they're going home through the rest of the week, they can be talking about the same word with their parents. They can grow together in that word. So I just love having the little children here with us because I love things like that as well. Jesus, we do thank you and praise you. As we just share your word this morning, we are open to hear the things that you have for us. We just thank you for the things you've already taught us. Thank you for the things that are going to come today. In everything that we do and say, you be glorified. And we will take this word from your word today about Jehoshaphat, and we will take that and live it in our lives throughout the rest of the week. It's all to your glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we have spent the last couple of weeks, the last few weeks, talking about the forward expression of praise and thankfulness. Now, it's easy for us to understand why it's important to thank God for the things that are already done. It's easy to understand how we should thank Him for the things we've already seen. It's a little bit more difficult of a concept to understand the power that comes from that forward expression of praise and worship. In other words, praising Jesus for the things that we've not yet seen. Now, we saw an example of that from David in Psalm 42. And this is essentially what David said, but this is my paraphrase of what David said. Essentially, David is saying, because I'm going to be praising God anyway, eventually I'm going to be praising Him because He's always faithful. And since I'm going to be praising Him anyway, I may as well start praising Him now, even before I see the victory come to pass. That's the example that we should have. That's the forward expression of praise and thankfulness. We also spent the last 2 weeks looking at the power of the forward expression of praise and thanks from David's chief musician, Asaph. Now, last week, spent a lot of time chronicling with Asaph, chronicling Asaph's influence through his sons and through his future generations. And we saw that his influence went from the time of David all the way through Hezekiah on through Josiah. We saw that his sons, his future generations, we saw them at the rebuilding of the temple with Ezra. And we saw them on the walls of Jerusalem, as they were singing those praises back to the rebuilt temple in the book of Nehemiah. So we saw that legacy of praise and thankfulness that came from Asaph. He demonstrates for us the power of that forward expression of praise and thanks. As we praise and thank the Lord in our lives, even before we see things done, it impacts our lives, it impacts the lives of people around us, but it also has an impact on our future generations as well. That's what we see from Asaph. The last reference that we see in the Bible to Asaph and his sons comes just 2 years before the final words are spoken in the Old Testament. Just 2 years. So literally we see that legacy of praise and thanksgiving. We see that influence of Asaph's forward expression of praise and thanks from the time of David all the way through to the remainder, to the end of the Old Testament. That is a 550-year legacy of thanks and praise. As we said last week also, when you look at how many times in the Bible the name of Asaph is mentioned, almost half of the times it's not a direct reference to Asaph, but it's a reference to Asaph and his sons, which is telling us the importance of that heritage, that power that continues on beyond you from your praise and thanksgiving. We need to see us today as the sons and daughters of Asaph for today, carrying on that legacy so that we can influence the culture, the generation around us, but also impact future generations by our expressions of praise and thanks, even offered up today. Amen? All right, so the last 2 weeks I've told you that I deliberately omitted perhaps the most dramatic story that comes from the history of Asaph and his sons, because I wanted to spend an entire message focusing on just that. So let's turn there. We find that story. It's Jehoshaphat, as you already know. We find that story for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, as you're looking for 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Alice pointed out something to me this week, which I find a little bit humorous. Last week, we were going through a lot of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as we were going through 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we kept going forward. Well, after we got to, I had you in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles. And then I went on with a few more notes of the message, and we came to the book of Ezra. And in my head, I always hear Donna telling me, you've got to leave more time when you mention a biblical reference to people to catch up before you start reading that biblical reference. And she said, sometimes you might even want to make sure that you identify where that's at. So hearing those words in my head, and I just said, turn to Ezra. So I said, if you remember this last week, I don't know how many of you guys even noticed this, but I said, to find Ezra, easiest way, go to the book of Psalms, go back one book, and that's the book of Job. Go back another book, that's Esther. Go back another one, that's Nehemiah. Then just before that, there you find Ezra. So that's how I took you there. If you had kept your place in that, because I had you in that last chapter, all you had to do is just turn one page, and you were in. But I took you a much more scenic route to find the book of Ezra. Now at least you know how to find the book of Ezra. All right, so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in this chapter we find that Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Now this is a long time after King Solomon, and it's a long time before King Hezekiah. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles begins by Jehoshaphat learning that there's three armies, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, that are arrayed against him and are on their way to Judah to do battle. In verse number 3, we see Jehoshaphat's response. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 3. I'm sharing this from the Amplified Bible. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. When things come into our lives, when some things bring us to that place of fear, the natural reaction, the human reaction, the fleshly reaction, is to give ourselves over to that fear. We stress, we fret, we even speak those fears out loud to anyone who will listen, which, by the way, has the effect of actually empowering that which you're fearing. The end result is that what happens is fear gains in strength, and we're weakened with each expression of fear that we utter. But what we see from Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat makes the determination to seek after the Lord, to seek him as his vital need, as his only priority. What we tend to do, we seek the Lord. And if we don't see the results, if we don't see change take place in 10 minutes, we go right back to obsessing on those fears. I'm speaking to you from the voice of experience. We go right back to obsessing on those things that we fear. Set yourself determinedly to seeking after the Lord. That's the example we see from Jehoshaphat. Verse 4, this is from the New King James. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. All the people are following the lead of Jehoshaphat. They're coming from all over Judah to join with Jehoshaphat in seeking after the Lord. They're coming for the purpose of seeking with him of the Lord. If you make the determination to seek the Lord as your vital need, your only priority, if you do this, people will follow you. See, when things take place that cause us to fear, how we respond is going to affect those around us. If people will see us making the determination that we will seek after the Lord, they will follow after you. Faith speaks praise before deliverance is seen. But fear speaks defeat into what should be your victory. Speak those words of praise. Speak words of thanksgiving even before you see your promises come to pass, because we know that Jesus is faithful. And because we're in our life, we've experienced that, we know that, then it doesn't matter what you see and it doesn't matter what you feel. As you come up against the battle, you begin to seek determinedly the Lord and to praise him in advance before you see anything else that takes place. Now, if you're still staying in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, In verses 5 through 9, I'm just going to give you a summary of what's taking place. In verses 5 through 9, we see that Jehoshaphat is going before the Lord publicly. So he and all the people come before the temple of God. They come before the temple of God, and Jehoshaphat stirs their faith by saying these words, God is awesome. God is above all others. No one can withstand. God is greater than all. No one can withstand God. Then in verse number 9, and this is key, in verse number 9, Jehoshaphat, recalling the prophetic words spoken by Solomon when the temple was dedicated to the Lord. Solomon recalling those words, I'm sorry, Jehoshaphat recalling those words, he speaks those words. And what he's doing, he is seeking and asking the Lord for deliverance. Because look what happened. Look at what happened immediately after Solomon spoke those exact same words at the dedication of the temple all those generations before. Jehoshaphat is repeating the words, but after Solomon said those words, here's what happened. Stay in 2 Chronicles, but go all the way back to chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Dedication of the temple. Solomon speaks these words, the same words that Jehoshaphat is calling on and speaking. And this is what we see happen right afterwards. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed. Thank you very much. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire come down and the glory of the Lord was on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and they worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures 1,000 generations. That's a forward expression of praise and thanks. That is saying that he is faithful to 1,000 generations, so I will praise him now. And we see the effects of that generations later, because here's Jehoshaphat recalling those words and wanting to see, believing that God is going to intervene. What Jehoshaphat is doing, did I say Joshua? If I keep saying Joshua, it's Jehoshaphat, so just fill in that blank for me. What Jehoshaphat is doing is asking the Lord to intervene on behalf of the people. Jehoshaphat is saying, he wants to see deliverance. He wants to see the fire of the Lord come down and consume the enemies of Judah. Now, God does intervene, but not in the way that Jehoshaphat is expecting. And the good news for you and I is because God intervenes differently, it is a lesson for us in the power of praise and the power of thankfulness. And the power that goes before us when we speak words of praise. When you praise him before you see it done, there is power that is going before you to bring the promises that he has already established for you. You're bringing those things from the spiritual realm right here to displace the natural realm realities. Someone should have said amen. Thank you. Or yeah, that'll work also. All right, so let's go down to verse number 12. Verse 12 says, Still in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Until you hear otherwise, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse number 12. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Imagine their fear in the flesh of knowing that not one, not two, three armies are arrayed against them. They don't even have time to prepare because the armies are already on the way. That's got to be a feeling in the natural of hopelessness. He goes on to say against us, nor do we know what to do. Ever feel like that? Ever feel something coming against you and you just have no idea what to do? But our eyes are upon you. So the fire of the Lord didn't fall, but Jehoshaphat continues to seek the Lord. Because Jehoshaphat understands that they are powerless to defeat this enemy. They have to put the entirety of their trust into God himself. Too often what we wind up doing, too often when we stand on the word of God, if we don't see immediate results, what we tend to do is we begin to try to resolve those problems in our own strength and in our own abilities. When what we should be doing is continuing to seek the Lord. What we should continue to do is keep our eyes upon him. with our mouth filled with forward expressions of thanks and praise. This is the example that we have from Jehoshaphat. Verse number 14. Do they ever look inside when they walk by? Do they? Did he look inside? Just wave to the next person. Just wave to them. Come on in. Verse number 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord... Oh, I do have to tell you. There was one time I was aware. I don't know if you guys were here and remember this. There was one time that somebody came by, and it must have been really sunny outside because there must have been a glare and they couldn't see. But do you guys remember this? There was a woman and someone else, and they put their face right up against the window and were looking in. And every single person was looking back at them. I'm sure they were a bit shocked. We never saw them come to the service. They probably never showed up in Levis Commons again, actually. Verse number 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. If you're looking for the name of a child, here's a good name to give a child, Jehaziel. All right? Because Jehaziel, when your child is in kindergarten, there's not going to be any other Jehaziels in. But Jehaziel is a great example for us of what you'll see. So Jehaziel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Bethaniah, I'm sorry, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. So here's Jehaziel. Jehaziel is one of the sons of Asaph. This is Asaph's great-great-great-great-great-whatever-grandson. And we still see the influence. We still see the impact. The Spirit of the Lord speaks. Because in this time of national crisis, who does the Lord speak through? The Spirit, yes. But He speaks through those of us who have that same heart, that heart of Asaph and his sons, the ones who are trained to praise and worship. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through the ones who are trained to praise and worship. He's speaking through the one that is from the line, from the family of Asaph. And once again, we get to see the prophetic element that is a part of praise and worship. We see that prophetic element because here's God. He is speaking through Jehaziel, the son of Asaph, one of the sons of Asaph, who is trained in praise, in singing songs of praise and thanks. Just as we saw with Asaph during the days of David. So think about this. Asaph's forward expression of praise and thanksgiving is still reaping a harvest. Generations later, Asaph is long since dead. So are his sons and his grandsons and so forth. But that legacy continues on, and God still speaks through those who are trained in praise and worship. That's why I say, when we're here on Sundays, it's not just that we're singing songs together. On Sundays, we should be singing these songs, and we should be training ourselves to hear from the Lord and to learn all the things that He wants us to learn about praise and worship. I keep saying, the more I study this out, the more I keep saying, Jesus, I don't know. There's so much I don't know about praise and worship. Keep showing me more. I want to learn more and more. And that's what He desires of us. So that when you leave here on Sundays, we're trained to praise and worship when all of a sudden things in life go against us or look contrary to the promises of the Word of God. We're trained to praise and worship and to speak words of praise even before we see the answers, even before we see the deliverances. Listen, I've worked at Yes FM for... pretty close. A long time, yes. I think 18 years, maybe a little more than 18 years. But yeah. And Dan's known me in Christian radio for about 30 years. So I've been in, and it's all been Christian music. Obviously, I love Christian music. But look, Christian music is more than just singing songs that make me feel good because I like the sound of that song. It's learning to sing those songs and understand the power that is in those songs. What music does and what songs do, it releases the emotions that are in here from our heart and soul. It releases emotions that go beyond just the words of praise and thanksgiving. I'm not minimizing the praise and thanksgiving that comes from words, but there's something about singing that releases more of that. This is what we should be learning during this collective time in praise and worship when we're together. I'll tell you what, even though we're smaller this morning than we normally are, I could hear your voices a whole lot more this morning than I could even when we had, there was a couple weeks ago, we had almost 70 people. And I could hear you guys this morning more than I could even then. That's excellent, because we're learning about praise and worship to take that with us into our lives the rest of the week. All right, verse number 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 15. This is going to be from the Amplified Bible. He said, hearken, this is still Jehaziel. God is speaking through the son of Asaph, Jehaziel. He said, hearken all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says this to you. Do not be afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In the day of trouble, we make the battle ours. But it's only yours if you make it yours. The battle belongs to God. I don't want the battle to be mine. The battle belongs to God. The good news for you and I, unlike Jehoshaphat, we live under the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has already fought and won all of your battles. So everything that Satan has planned against you in your life is already defeated. All we have to do is enforce his defeat. And we do that by standing and speaking the word and speaking words of praise and thanks. Speaking those words of praise and thanks even before we see the results, even before we see the victorious results, we thank him and we praise him because we know, like David did, I'm going to be praising you anyway because you're faithful, so I may as well start praising you now. Soul, start praising the Lord now because he's faithful. He's worthy of our praise. So no matter how big the battle is that's before you, it doesn't matter what's come upon you in the last week, or it doesn't matter what's coming this week. It doesn't matter what's coming next month or next year. No matter how big the battle is, you do not need to fear, because the battle is the Lord's. So then why do we keep fighting so hard against those things in our lives that we can never seem to get victory in? Praise him instead. Instead of trying to work it out in your own, praise him instead. Make praise the first response that you have. Verses 16 and 17. This is still Jehaziel, son of Asaph. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. We're going to be in Israel. I have no idea where Ziz is at. However, it is coming up on Tekoa. We will be going to Tekoa. And you will find them at the end of the brook of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. By the way, if you go one verse before this, you see it does say, it does talk about the wilderness of Tekoa. This is where this is all taking place. We will be standing in Israel. We will be right there at Tekoa, where all of this took place, where those armies came, three armies coming against Israel, and yet they stood in the Lord, and God did awesome things. Position yourselves. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Stop fighting the battles of this life, yourself and in your own strength. Jehaziel is telling us what our role is when the battles come. Our role is this. We position ourselves for battle, but we don't have to fight the battles. Stop fighting against those bondages of this life. Those bondages. Stop fighting against those bondages in our own strength. Because all that does, when you try to fight those bondages in your own strength, all that does, it serves to tighten those manacles that enslave you anyway. So instead, position yourself for battle. How do we position ourselves for battle? How do we get ourselves in that position? We position ourselves for battle by standing on the word and by praising and thanking him loudly even before we see the deliverance, even before we see the victories coming. You position yourself for battle by standing on the word and praising him, speaking the word and praising him and thanking him before you see it done. Stand in your position of praise. Don't run when things appear to be bad. Stand in your position of praise and keep praising him. The only time we lose those things is when we run because we give ourselves, we yield ourselves to fear. Verses number 21 and 22. These are the best. And when he had consulted with the people, this is Jehoshaphat now, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those, remember that phrase, who would sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And we're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Again, forward expression. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. This is the ultimate example of the forward expression of praise and thankfulness. This is the ultimate example of that. The people position themselves for battle. They go out in battle array, they position themselves for battle. But going forward, beyond the army, they send out those who are appointed to praise God and to sing praises to him. They are praising and thanking the Lord for their victory before they see it come to pass. Now, think about how do we approach the battles that come against us in our life? Do we stress? Do we fret? Do we speak out loud those fears to anyone who will listen? Or instead, do we give forward expression of our praise and thankfulness to the one who's already delivered us? In verse number 21, I told you to remember that one phrase. In verse number 21, we see the words that says, and he appointed. Now, that's in reference, those words are in reference to the singers. He appointed the singers. So, he appointed, in reference to the singers. In the Hebrew, those words mean to stand, to take one's stand. And again, that's not in reference to the army that we know is standing. That is in reference to the singers who were sent out in advance. We read that story, and a lot of times what we picture in our minds is that the singers and the praisers, they are marching all the way towards the enemy in battle. No, they went before the army. The army takes their position. The praisers go out in front of the army. But it is their praise and it's their thankfulness that goes before them with power and deliverance. It's not them. They stand also, but they speak and they sing before all the people, before all the army, in front of them, they sing the praises and the thanksgiving. And those songs, that praise goes before them powerfully to bring deliverance. So as the sons and daughters of Asaph today, we should be standing and singing praises at all times. Let your praise and your thanksgiving go before you with power and deliverance. For that is what enforces the defeat of every plan that Satan has against you. That's where it comes from. The more that we collectively train ourselves to praise and to worship him, the more adept that we become in singing songs of praise to him. When we sing collectively on Sunday mornings, when we sing here collectively, we are being trained like the sons of Asaph. We're being trained to learn the power of praise and thanksgiving. We should be developing a sense of expectancy of deliverance. As we're standing here together, singing and praising him collectively, we're being trained, and this should be stirred inside of us, the expectancy to see deliverance in all things in our lives. You remember the story in Acts chapter 16? You don't have to go there. But you remember the story in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas were in prison? What did they do? Yeah, they prayed, and it says they sung hymns. They sang, sung, sang. They sang hymns. That doesn't sound right either, but I'm going to take your word for it. So they sang hymns. The word hymns actually means celebrating God in song. So even though they're in prison, even though they were beaten and put in prison, they're still celebrating God in song, with the result being that the very foundations of the jail itself are shaken, the doors fly open, and the chains are broken. This is what we should be expecting. Look, what you learn here in praise and worship, or anywhere, what you learn in praise and worship, but when you learn what you learn here on Sundays, you can take with you. And it's not what I'm teaching you. It's what the Holy Spirit is teaching you in praise and worship. And you can take that with you out into the rest of your week. So whatever battles the enemy brings against you in your life, whatever the chains are that he tries to put you in bondage with, you can break those with the praise and the thankfulness that you're learning to know and believe and have a sense of expectancy from the time that we spend in praise and in worship. There's a verse that's two verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's exactly what Paul and Silas were doing. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Singing psalms and spiritual songs, hymns and spiritual songs. We know that hymns are celebrating God in song. But I'm really fascinated by that whole thought process of spiritual songs. And this is something that the Lord, I kind of shared this about a month or so ago, but this is kind of something that the Lord was just showing me. Musicians, really good musicians, of which I'm not a musician at all, but I can appreciate when I see and hear a good musician. I was watching this guy play cello, and I showed it to Donna, and man, he was like going so fast on the cello, and they had a close-up. His fingers were moving, not only moving, they were going up and down, I mean, the bow's going this. His fingers are going so fast, I couldn't even keep up watching his fingers. Here's what happens. Really good musicians, they are so practiced because they practice their craft over and over again. They're so practiced, he didn't have to think about where his fingers were. He's just thinking about the music. He's letting the music, and I'm sure this is what makes a good musician. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys. This is what I think makes a good musician. They are so practiced, they can let the music speak to them. And as they're thinking about the music, the fingers are so trained, the fingers are already hitting the notes. They don't have to stop and think, my finger needs to be here in this hand. They've just practiced so much that what they have, the song, just flows out of them. Now again, I'm not a musician, but I can liken it to this. Obviously, there's not a day that I'm not writing on the computer. And the more you do something, you just get practiced at it. And there are some times when the Lord is showing me things, I don't want to and I can't stop to figure out where my fingers are at. As the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, I just want to get that written down on the page. And so what happens is I'm so practiced at it, I'm not even looking. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit speak to me and my fingers are going. I'm not thinking about where my fingers are at. Now, there's times, if I do think about it, I have to think. But when I'm just in the Lord and listening to Him and He's speaking to me, my fingers are just going. And all of a sudden, I look down and my fingers are practiced. They knew exactly where to go because I've practiced at it. Donna likens it to if you ever drive, you know, you have routes that you have to drive that are very familiar routes. So you ever had this experience? You're going from one place to the other. It's a familiar route. You get to your destination. And because you've done this so many times, you think to yourself, I don't remember passing this landmark. I don't remember even passing that city. Did we go through it? We must have because I'm here. You ever had that experience? It's because you're so practiced, you don't even think about it. You just do it. You can't even remember it. That's why I love those verses. Because I want spiritual songs. I'm not a musician, but I want spiritual songs. Because the more that I practice praising and worshiping Him, singing praise and worship to Him, not just here, but in my life. The more I practice, the more it just becomes, I don't have to think about it. So eventually, what's going to happen is, I'm going to be singing and praising to the Lord. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm practiced at it. So then, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, now I get His words and His songs, not mine. Because I'm just listening to Him, and I'm practiced praising and worship. So I'm so practiced, I'm not thinking about it. Now everything else is out of the way, and the Holy Spirit can just speak to me, His words, even His music. That's spiritual songs. Tell me that won't be encouraging when that happens to us. I can't even sing. That's probably why there's nobody in the second row today. I can't even remember where I left off. Verses 23 and 24. Still in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. For the people of Ammon, of Moab, they stood up against the inhabitants. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they made an end to the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, Tekoa, they looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. So God sends the praisers out before the army. They come out before the army, and they stand before the army, and they sing praises. They sing their worship. They sing songs of thanksgiving to God before they see it done. And their praise and their thanksgiving goes before them. And the result is God has all of these attacking armies. He causes them to destroy each other. Each army destroyed the other, totally and utterly destroyed them. So there's no survivors. That's not having to fight your battle. I want, as a son and daughter of Asaph, I want to be able to send my praise and thanksgiving forward. And as a son and daughter of Asaph, that's the results that you and I can see. That's the results that we should be experiencing from the battles that come before us. We just thank Him and praise Him and keep moving forward. And what the enemy plans against us, he puts in total disarray and destroys. We just keep praising and moving forward. Verses 25 and 26. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Here's the results of your standing and praising and thanking God and sending that thanksgiving, that praise before you. The result is you get spoil from the defeat of your enemy, it'll take you 3 days to gather it in. Now, even that's significant. I don't have time to go through this today. It's a topic for another time, but let me just summarize by saying this. It's been my experience in life, not once, not twice, but dozens of times. It's been my experience, and there's biblical reference after biblical reference to back this up. If you will, when the battle comes against you, if you will praise and thank the Lord for 3 days before you see your answer, if you will do that, your victory is complete and you will not lose it. If you can stand for 3 days seeing no evidence of His promises coming to pass, but you continue to thank Him and praise Him, your victory is complete, you will never lose it. And then on that fourth day, your life will never be the same again because you've seen the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and you know the power in thanking Him and praising Him and standing even when it doesn't look like things are changing. Here's the final verse I want to look at this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 30. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Whoo! Apply yourself to the forward expression of praise and thankfulness. You're going to get victory in your life. You're going to have spoil beyond your imagination that you can't even gather it all in over a 3-day period. And you get rest in your life. Man, how many of us are seeking rest in our lives? A fundamental part of that is praise. It's the praise, the forward expression of praise and thankfulness. We are the sons and daughters. We should be. We should see ourselves as the sons and daughters of Asaph today. If we will live in that kind of praise and thankfulness expressed forward, even before we see it done, we will see victory in our lives. We'll see that it affects the lives of those around us. We'll see that it affects future generations, your children and your grandchildren impacted because of your words of praise and thanks today, even before you see it done. The more that I'm speaking words of praise and thanks, the more that I'm impacting my children and my grandchildren, and generations even beyond. This is the legacy of being the sons and the daughters of Asaph today. Amen? Let's praise the Lord together. Let's stand up and thank Him. Sing with praise this morning as we conclude.